Welcome back to Brass Tacks. Psyche Price here with you. Dennis Johnson, doing all things technical. And, of course, we break in another 18 minutes for another 16 minutes, sorry, for the latest at 12:30. So we try to get in as many calls as possible. Good morning. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Price. How are you this morning?
I am well today, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. I just want to comment on two things. I mean, we hope people will listen to what I'm saying this morning. Now, one, I would like to endorse what Mark Williams would have said a little while ago about those people that would have nurtured politicians and speak about them and so on, Winty Alder and those guys. And so I endorse what Mark would have said a while ago. But I would like to make reference to an issue I would have seen in the paper over the weekend, where the port would have been talking about the area that have been closed and so, asking people to stay away and from bathing in the berthing area and so over by the flour mill.
Mm-hmm.
I am responding to that based on some comments that I would have heard some people make towards that same issue and the bathing and so in that area. I would like to go back to when that area over by the flour mill, that berthing area, would have just been built and so on. I had people that friends would go out there and bathe, and people would tell them don't bathe out there, but they would insist and so on going. And this incident that I would refer to now would have happened a few days after a fellow from around the Brandon area had disappeared bathing in that same area. If you could remember that the Coast Guard would have started in Oystein, and then part of it, then they would have moved on to Fort Willoughby.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I could remember an afternoon, I was going down to work. I was traveling via the Spring Garden Highway, and I looked across over by the flour mill. I saw some young boys and thing in there bathing, and they had a tire. I turned around my car, and I went down by the flour mill, by that berthing area, and I took them out of the water. And I told them not to go back in there and bathe, and I would have said to them how dangerous it is bathing in that area. I leave there then, and I went up to Fort Willoughby. When I got into Fort Willoughby, I was talking to one of the officers that was going off duty, getting the briefing on what would have worked on when somebody came and tell me that the commander had wanted me on the phone. When I went to the phone, the commander told me that they just got a report that somebody drowned down by the flour mill. And I don't question authority, but I said to the commander, I said, sir, could be right. I said, I just passed there. I took some youngsters out of the water bathing down there and tell them how dangerous it is bathing down there and so, and not to go back in the water. He said to me, well, look, I don't know about that's the report we just got. And all the diver would be coming down, which and the diver came from Oystein and came down to Fort Willoughby. We went into the area of the flour mill. And when I got in there, I saw the same group of young boys that I would have taken out the water. The flour was the tire that they had in a true floating boat on, was in the water by itself, knowing all of them, and they were saying to us that this guy would have jumped over here anyway. Anyway, the diver went into the water. We spent about nearly a half hour looking and so, and he didn't see anything. When he came up, he told me, he said, look, I can make one more down, but I ain't seeing anything down there. So I said, well, Lord, what I will do, I am going to put the floodlight down on the water so that you were going, if there's anything, it will brighten up the water. The diver went down. And when he came back, he told me, man, you see the body down there, but it will take a little while before he get to it, and he would bring it, which he did. We took the body into the Bridgestone port at the back of Shade 2. And when we got to the shore there, when we was reporting the police, everything, they came. And we were identifying it. A boat was offloading down at the end of Shade 4. You know, port workers would come and get around and look. I saw a fella came, and when he see the body, he take off through the port like Concord. And just as he reached down by the boat that was offloading, another set of them was coming up. And when one man got there to where that body was, the man just said, so man, if I could take you again. And I tell him, hold on a minute, quiet on the uniform. And so he said, man, you would believe. I talked to this boy this morning, and the last thing I do when I was leaving, I give him money to get what he wants, and then the last thing I tell him, don't leave home. But it was one of the workers, and this was in the 70s. And up to today, we have young people, even adults, would go down by that thing blading. And even when the port security sometimes go and speak to them, they become violent. They want to, they tell you all sorts of things, except to come out. They even got youngsters who go down there and bid, and when the port security got to go and speak to them, they want to pelt rocks and things at them. And I am saying that I am glad now that it reached that stage that anybody going down in that area there and they catch in the water, that will be prosecuted, because it is a dangerous area to be in, and it shouldn't be. And I only say that to show that you would get the warnings, people would see them how they want to see them, but they're dangerous, and they have reasons for saying what they say. And I am saying that man, and I think the guy that drunk, he was from Waterhall and Eagle. And when I read that warning in the paper, and I hear some comments from some people, it brought this incident back to me. And I say this morning to show them that they may be looking at it in their way, but the authorities are right.
Thank you, sir, very much for your recounting those events. Very sad story, quite frankly. But, you know, sometimes the story that you've told is necessary to be told and retold, because maybe then people will get the message. And I hope that some people who know that their children go down by Brighton and Brandon's, especially during the summer holidays, and which will be coming in a few weeks, that they would really warn them not to venture across that side. All we can do, sir, when it comes to children, is to warn them. Because, as you know, with young people, they always feel that they know best. And they always feel that nothing will ever go wrong. So all we can do is to advise them. Thank you very much. This is Brass Tacks. It's 12:21. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Moderator.
Yes, good afternoon.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
Along the same lines. Mm-hmm. Going back to the cars with the very, very bright lights,
I don't know
mm-hmm. if you remember, they had a section at Lucas House there in Chilter Street who did align your lights and keep it in the right perspective according to the weight of the car and that sort of thing. I think some of the better garages also did for Royal Extreme, is way back, I'm talking about my first car.
Mm-hmm.
Way back.
Well, you talk Extina. I know you're going way back.
Go again?
I said, if you're saying Extine, I know that you're going way back.
You get a juice bar for me. You pick up too many things. And we never had that problem. Then it's changed over to tungsten or whatever it was. This is a lot brighter.
Mm-hmm.
But still, they were probably linked. I never had that problem. So why don't the garages know? Make a point of ordering the correct thing, correct lights for the car they're burning.
Yeah, but sir, it isn't really the garages per se that's the problem, you know. There's so many people who bring in car parts.
That's true too.
You know, and they're going to try to get the car parts from the cheapest sources. So in very what we would have is that the part may not be best suited for Barbados. Like I was here being told sometime not too long ago that some car parts, some lights are more suited for when you're driving on the right hand side.
Right hand French. German.
Right. So that therefore when you install lights like that, when they go on high beam, they will be coming right at you because they're the wrong lights for our market.
For our market,
you know?
Market.
So it's those types of things that would happen. But there's so many people bringing car parts. I mean, finding car parts like for things like lights and
exhaust
and other peripherals on the vehicles, it's not very difficult in Barbados. Because there is all these sort of shops all over the place.
But there should be sometime back, they had, I think, a Mr. Carr or something who had a noise abatement, who had started a noise abatement.
Well, you told me it was Carl Moore, Society for Quieter Barbados. People are now getting to recognize the value of what he was trying to say.
You know, no wonder that the little people can't hear, along with the little thing up to there all day, all night. 24/7. Thank you for listening. Have a good one, though. Enjoy your program.
Thank you very much for calling. We'll try to get one more better don't try that because we're going to get cut off. The roundabouts. I'm going to read a couple of these. I'm going to try to get them in as fast as possible. Imagine if the roundabouts are confusing, and I must say this is, given the area code, it seems from England. Imagine if the roundabouts are confusing to locals, it is worse for visitors to the island. My experience is that the road markings are too close to the roundabouts, too few and too small, and does not give enough time for the driver to observe the warning or instructions. Also, traveling at 80 kilometers per hour, the font on the highway signs are too small to read the information properly. This is just one dealing with the situation at the fish market. This person is saying, my experience with purchasing fish is even though the price was displayed on a chalkboard, the scale is not facing the customer. My 3-pound fish on getting home was shown on my digital scale to be 2 pounds, 6 ounces, and I did not have the skin or bones removed. Interesting. And then this person is saying that there definitely is a need for a speed limit in school zones. So there was a concern earlier about some people who are not stopping at zebra crossings. And this we were talking about the one in Spooner's Hill by Lawrence T. Gay School. But I can tell you about the one in Deacons near Bird Riverside, where because of how the road is, sometimes the lady is standing there, what we call the lollipop lady, she's standing there and she's trying to get the vehicles to stop, and some people ignore it. I've seen it myself because I travel that road regularly, almost daily, and it really is frightening sometimes the way some people drive on some of these roads approaching these zebra crossings because they can see the school children. But the next thing too, that having said that, you have a situation where people who are traveling with children. In fact, I think Dennis mentioned this yesterday about years ago, how the children were in front. But these people are walking and I see it. These people are walking in front and come along, you know, and the child is behind. And, you know, children always get up to something. The little boys always kicking something in the road. And the more they kick it and the more it goes out in the road, they're going behind it. And, you know, they're not even thinking about the traffic. And so all these are issues that we really need to combat because clearly, it really can't be good enough to have children walking in the streets like that, and yet there's the traffic is just running up and down. And you know, we tend to wash our mouth all the time on ZR and minibus drivers, and I must say sometimes it's merited, because a lot of them do not drive, do not have very good road manners. But there are a lot of people, who ordinary motorists, who also drive badly, in fact worse than some of these guys, and they need to be, I don't know what can be done. I don't know if you can take a video of it and send it to the police. I don't know. But clearly, it is really not good enough. Sometimes these people are just driving, and they see the children on the road. They can see the zebra crossing, and it's just that they want to frighten somebody, so they drive fast and jam the brakes and make a screeching noise, and everybody's beginning, ah! You know, it's ridiculous. And I've seen that in Spooner's Hill. I've seen that in Deacon's. It's really not good enough. And people, you need to stop it. You really, really need to stop it. And this person here is now writing it also again about the zebra crossings. They're barely visible and they need painting. Minister of Transport, Mr. William Duguid, you got your work cut out for you, sir, because really and truly, the amount of response we have had here today so far on road crossings, the need to have them painted, the need for ongoing public relations campaign, public awareness campaign, it is clear that this is an issue. It really needs to be tackled. We take a break here for the 12:30 latest edition. This is Brass Stacks, Sanka Price with you, along with Dennis Johnson. And of course, we finish at 1, which is what, 16 minutes from now. So we have to get a couple of calls real fast. Good afternoon. You are on the air.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Hi, good morning. I'm calling concerning the two articles written in the Daily Nation over the past 2 days.
What articles are you talking about, sir?
Pardon?
Which articles are you speaking about?
The one by Pastor Vincent Wood or Minister Wood, and the one written this morning by a lady. I won't call her name because I don't remember her exact name, and I don't want to disrespect her in any way. Mm-hmm. But I would like them to know, right, that I've known several gay people who has raised children to be successful in life. They cannot judge people by a few under one brush. They have to get to know people and to know their situation. One of the guys, his brother and his wife died, and he took over the care of their two children. One of these children has become a successful lawyer. The other young lady is married for the past 10 years and happily married. These people do not know the situation where their people are concerned. They need to get to know people before they write it in the paper with this judgment. These judgments only create a lot of hate and distress in the business society. We have to stop with these judging and these writing of articles which create hate in this society. Until they get to know who they're talking about, they cannot judge them. They have to come out, meet people, talk to them, find out what their issues are, find out their situations, because there are many different types of people out there who...
Sir? Hello? We lost you just now. So are you suggesting that we should have same-sex marriage in Barbados?
Pardon me? Yes, I am, actually. Because in the same situation, as a common law wife and man, we are 5 years down the line, she or he has rights to whatever the two of them accumulate together. The same thing should be done for two men or two women. I've known situations where people were in relationships and then one part, the other one's family come and take up everything. That is not right. And until you can walk in somebody's shoes, you will not know what issues they are going through. That is not right at all, because in most of these situations, when the person becomes ill, the family don't want to know nothing about them, don't want to do have anything to do with them. And then further down the line, like,
we just lost that call. Is this phone here? You raised some interesting issues. I really wanted to have a conversation with him. Let me take the next call real quick. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hey, Ms. Price.
Yes, you are.
It's two little things they want to ramble about, because I don't know when they're gonna ever listen to me.
Don't ramble. Be direct.
I think I discussed this every day already. You got helmets for bicycles. You got helmets for motorcycles. You got seat belts for cars. I don't understand how people don't ever fall up this here. How much people got to drunk off of a boat before they tell people that have going out at night, you should put on this life jacket. A life jacket, even if you die, I would find it because it got a psychedelic light on it.
So you're suggesting that everyone who goes on the cruise puts on a life jacket?
Yes. And a life jacket is not a heavy thing. It's cork. It's something you could wear like a waistcoat. It's just like a waistcoat. And you tie it to the top and the bottom. I don't understand why people believe that this is some kind of a disgrace to wear a life jacket. It saves lives. And if the body drowns, you will still find them. You up and down, when you fall overboard of a boat, even in the daytime, it is easy to detect you. It's hard to detect you with the captain in the water.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see it. But if you fall over at nighttime,
it's even worse. Because then you have the darkness to deal
right,
with.
Right, but if the moonlight is shining, you go on your life jacket, it would pick it up.
Yeah,
right?
The fluorescent thing.
The next thing I want to talk about, I heard a gentleman talking about the old Talbots. That people don't remember them and things like that. But you see, there's a calling program on the radio that looking back at different things that happened in Barbados years ago. And you start out by saying you aren't dealing with politics. You aren't dealing with religion. So how you could go on looking back program and don't deal with politics? I mean, if you want to look back at people like Sidney Walker and Norma Jackman and that kind of people, so it's nothing to do with politics. And these people, you can't discuss nothing in this world unless you've got politics in it. So why you should have a program, you don't have to have politics in it. Why? What's the reason? You ain't defaming anybody. You're just talking about things that happen. You can't run from history.
Very
so
true.
I don't see why you can't discuss it.
Very true.
So I would like to tell the gentleman that was making the complaint why he don't bring it on his program. I tried to do it when it was on the program, but I each time I tried to talk about old things, wrong staff and things like that, he shifted to school teachers and headmasters and all kind of things all the time. So I that's all I try to say. He's my friend, but sometimes he's got a little overboard, and he got a program. He could tear
all right, let me deal here with the life jackets and thing, which is an interesting point that you raised. And again, it comes down to regulations. It would have to be something that would have to be looked at, because the volume of party boats we have in Barbados, or I should say the volume of cruises we have, party cruises that we have, it clearly would have to be one of those issues to be looked at. Thankfully, we do not have too many of these incidents where people are lost overboard, but one life loss is too many. But it is something that really should be looked at. Thank you very much, sir. And we try to go to another call very quickly. This is Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon to listeners. And quickly, I would like to say some people have been complaining about monkeys and the destruction. I quite sympathize with all the farmers and other persons who have suffered or are suffering from monkey damage. But let us all study this here, that the most destructive thing on the planet today is fire, because you could be at work, and then somebody's phone you and tell you, Marlock, your house just burned down. And when you get there, the only thing that you have is your clothes on your back. So, you know, so we have to give thanks in a sense. I know the monkeys will give the damage. And even if you destroy every monkey in Barbados right now, or even in the world still has problems. And some of the biggest problems in the world today is some members of mankind itself who making mankind of themselves miserable. They have to be running and crowded up in places as refugees and all kinds of things. That is all I have to say, sir. Hey, thank you.
Thank you very much. I was just informed that on TME cruises, the people do have, guests would have to wear their life jackets. So I guess it's the bigger party boats that we have to worry about. But clearly it would be an issue because, as I said, one life lost is too much. We try to get one more call before we have to close. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Good afternoon to you, Mr. Price.
Good afternoon, sir.
I would like to concur with the last two callers that spoke on same-sex marriages, and I couldn't have said it better than he said it. I have spoken to all those things already, and this discrimination should remove, and persons in the LGBT community should be allowed to have the same rights as heterosexual beings. And I will speak on this again at another time. Thank you.
All right, sir. I can tell you that here on the WhatsApp, a young lady, this person is saying, agreed, people need to stop looking past the sex of same-sex marriage and look at the fact that marriage rights provide protection to spouses, and it's imperative that said protections are granted to every spouse, regardless of how the community views the morality of a marriage. Let's get in another quick one. We think we get one more in? Okay. Well, gives me a chance to deal with the issue I really want to deal with here now. This person writes, we should have a conversation about the general state of the roads, particularly the sidewalks, or lack thereof. And the fact that many of those that do exist are in such a poor state as to be unsuitable for walking or for running, a purpose I frequently use them for, which means we pedestrians are forced to walk on the busy roadways with uncaring drivers. Now, the fact that we have had so many people, I really can't count the number of WhatsApp messages that we've had here today related to the zebra crossings, the need for different things on the highway, in terms of how we drive on the highway, the roundabouts and whatnot. It suggests certainly to me that there is a large concern by Barbadians about what is happening on our roads. Yes, we know that the roads for some time now, they've deteriorated very, very badly, and we need basically a road rehabilitation program, I mean, for the entire country, because most of the roads in Barbados are just potholed and in really bad condition. How they got there is not the issue. The fact is that we got to fix it. And we also have got to start looking at these zebra crossings as well as how people use the roads in general. We've heard today, of course, that, and something I really concur with, is that we really need to have a sort of ongoing public awareness campaign. And as I was suggesting here, these things are done specifically designed for WhatsApp, because a lot of people get their information these days also on their telephones, so it could be an ongoing program. You have something on television, you have something on radio, you have one or two things in the newspaper, but you definitely have it on social media platforms so that people can see it. Because the number of accidents that we've had in the last several weeks suggests that people are really not adhering to the regulations on the road, and they really need to because we really need to do something about it. We have to make people aware and keep them aware. You have to keep the message in front of them. So it is something to look at. On the whole thing of same-sex marriage, I suspect we're going to have a program that's going to be full of that one day, coming soon as this Gay Pride March approaches. I've just got another message saying, can I have a definition for marriage? Is it not between one man and one woman? Just asking. And yes, that is the definition for marriage in Barbados, certainly. Okay, certainly. But as this other message is saying, surprisingly, the European court smacked down the same-sex mess. Barbados drinking Babylon's wine, whatever that means. But clearly, as the fact about it is that there is a movement in the international arena on this matter, and it will impact on us here. We cannot ignore it. We have to confront it. It has to be dealt with. There will be different perspectives. Pastor Wood, good old Pastor Wood, he has made he's drawn his line in the sand, and I'm sure that others will draw their line in the sand too. But, you know, we have to discuss this thing because we're all Barbadians. We live in the same space, and it's a very small space. So we have to be able to look at the issue from all perspectives and come to a solution where we as individuals can live and let live. This is Sanka Price. On behalf of Dennis Johnson, I'd like to thank you for being such a lovely audience, and have a great day.